Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. First segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Lee Durden, who will be telling us about the rare condition Sjögren's. What about this Sjögren's Society?
Right, well, Sjögren's is a disease that is named after a Swedish doctor. So the it's an unusual thing for people to pronounce, and most people have never heard of it before. And the Sjögren's Society was formed approximately 10 years ago to help people understand more about the disease, or raise awareness, and provide education for patients and families and doctors, and stimulate research.
So, how does the condition typically affect a person?
Well, as in many autoimmune diseases, there's really no sort of typical way, but in Sjögren's, what happens is the immune system is attacking the moisture-producing glands. So the, your saliva glands, your tear glands in your eyes, and any of the other sort of mucus-secreting glands in your body, all your organs have these kind of glands. So what typically happens, if you can put it that way, is many people will present with uncomfortable and often debilitating dry eye or dry mouth symptoms, or both. But it also does affect... it's a systemic disease, and it's actually the second most common rheumatic autoimmune disease, but no one's heard of it. It affects three times more people than MS and lupus, but unfortunately, the awareness has not, been adequately done at this point. But people do, they'll say their eyes, may be extremely dry. They have a feeling sort of grit in them, or the burning sensation in their eyes, difficulty talking, chewing, or swallowing. People say that if you have, if you can't eat anything dry without sipping a little bit of water, to aid in your swallowing, that's a real, flag there. You can also have increased dental decay, serious dental decay, and, for no reason, digestive problems, extreme fatigue, and, a variety of other symptoms.
So, are there any challenges for the society in raising awareness?
Well, one of the reasons is that no one has heard of the disease, so it's sort of like a chicken and the egg sort of thing. MS years ago has done the work on it, and families and friends have raised money and awareness, and that's why it's a household name. And part of the reason that people's quality of life, and that it takes 5 to 9 years to be diagnosed, is because of awareness. So awareness leads to earlier diagnosis, better care for patients, and an improved quality of life. So, we have to, get the word out. But, you know, as you know, with many diseases, you're all competing for the same dollars, and it's hard to raise money for a disease that no one has heard of, but yet it affects so many. So we're, you know, constantly trying to, do this and increase awareness. Also, awareness is like the key to just everything, and it is, for more research into the disease. So we're certainly trying to do that.
So, on the converse side of things, in your time with the society, has there been any success moment that stands out for you?
Well, yes. I mean, I think initially I am the one that, started the organization, and I started it with the aid of the American Foundation. I was hoping that they'd be able to come up and help me. But I started an Ontario support group, was the first thing, and we had about 75 members in 2005. People came from all over Ontario to be involved in it, and quickly learned that, more needed to be done. So we, formed a national nonprofit organization at that time. And we have so many doors open to us, and it's a matter of, resources, both financial and, volunteers as well. But we have, been a part of many different studies, and we continue to do that. We've actually, since 2009, have granted 11 research studies on Sjogren's, and we're a small organization, and that is quite a considerable accomplishment, I believe.
So, are there any projects on the horizon for the society?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Are there any projects in the works for the society?
Well, yes, we actually are doing a quality of life questionnaire, trying to collect data on quality of life and products. Sjogren's is a very costly disease because there aren't any actual systemic medications for the disease. Now, there, with the complications, there's money, or there's medications for those things. But people are spending a lot of money over the counter to just relieve some of their symptoms. And we're trying to collect Canadian data so that we can be more able to, talk to the powers that be and present our case, with the government and that. And we're participating. We, because we're considered a SAR disease, which is systemic autoimmune rheumatic disease, we're in with lupus and scleroderma and vasculitis, myositis, and Sjogren's makes the five. And a lot of research is being done, and more will be done, because we have a lot of commonalities. So trying to get these groups together and sharing, research scientists and that, will make a huge stride in every area. About 50% of the people that get Sjogren's also have rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, so any of these other scleroderma, so any of these other sort of connective tissue diseases. So when they're studying those diseases, and there's more money in those areas, that Sjogren's also benefits. So, we're hoping to expand, and we have a number of things on the horizon.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Oh, thank you very much for the opportunity.
Of course. Although Sjogren's is a less-known condition, it would seem that they are benefiting from others' work into related fields, and that is an important aspect of disability life. When working on one condition, if there's a similar root cause, if there are similar factors, what benefits one may benefit another. And as these groups continue to move forward, to make progress, I think they should keep an attitude of being willing to share their findings, their research, just to form a common base from which to build progress, just to make the quality of life better for those affected. Many times you'll find disability groups working in the same field with different philosophies, but no matter how they word it, no matter what methodology they use to get there, I maintain the underlying goal is universal: to make the quality of life for those affected just that much better. Steps. It's all about steps. It's about seeing what progress can be made, what improvement can be undertaken to give these individuals a fighting chance to have some hope. And that's where it all begins, folks. Having hope, recognizing that any condition is just that, a condition. It is part of the equation of a person's life, but it is not the totality. If you recognize that there's hope, you recognize that each morning you wake up, things might be that much better. And from there, you start to live a richer, more fulfilled life. And maybe from there, you even start to recognize that there are others around who can and will be of support. Sharing insights, sharing information is the key, because I can't imagine anyone who wouldn't jump at the chance to make things better for someone in their community. Fact is, it's all about community. There's no one in this life who gets by entirely on their own. Having the right support, the right information, recognizing that there are people there to help you, is the beginning. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Hiatus House is a social service agency offering confidential intervention for families experiencing domestic violence, including the Crisis Intervention Program, Residential Program, Transitional and Housing Support Program, Crossroads Program, Fresh Start Men's Program, Fresh Start Women's Program City, Fresh Start Women's Program Country, and the Hiatus House School-Based Program. If you are interested or for more information, please contact us. Call us at 519-252-7781 or visit our website at www.hiatushouse.com or come to our location at 250 Lewis Avenue, Windsor. Contact Hiatus House. Get safe. Get help.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Lee Durden, told us all about the condition Sjögren's. In this segment of our show, we'll hear from Eliza Chandler, Artistic Director for Tangled Arts. Tell me a little bit about Tangled Arts.
Tangled Arts we're located in Toronto in the 401 Richmond Building, which is a great house of artistic production and galleries and artist-run centers. And what we do at Tangled specifically is we support and cultivate disability art in Toronto and also throughout the province. So one of our main initiatives is we have Tangled on Tour Festival, and that tours to multiple cities in Ontario, including Thunder Bay, Ottawa, and we hope Windsor soon.
So, how did the work get started?
It was started about 15 years ago by a group of disability activists. And it was started at that point as a week-long festival every summer. And it was called the Abilities Art Festival. And for years it was just run out of somebody's home. And like I said, a week-long festival, so not a yearly project. And I about 5 years ago, it was taken over by Marina Praticelli, our executive director, and she moved Abilities into the 401 Richmond building. And about a year ago, we changed the name to Tangled Art Plus Disability to signify a change from the week-long festival into a yearly program of events, artist skill building, classes, talks, film screening, things like that.
So, can you tell me a little about the art itself? What's been developed?
Well, we represent artists from across Canada and even internationally. But we do focus on artists here in Ontario. But we're very multidisciplinary. So for the past few years, we've really focused each of our yearly program on a specific medium. So I think in 2013, it was focused mostly on film. So we had different film screenings each month. Last year, we were really focused on dance and theater. So brought in a great theater troupe from New York, Split Bridges, to perform a play here in Toronto for a few nights. And we also had local playwrights as well. And this year we're focused, it's sort of more multidisciplinary at this point. We have a show coming up in April 9th to the 24th, and the whole show will take place in the 401 Richmond building in Toronto in different galleries. So it's a group show spread over about 12 different galleries. And that show will feature performance art. We have a musician, a hip-hop singer. And it will also feature photo-based work, painting, and small miniature sculpture work.
So, in your time working with Tangled Arts, is there any one success moment that stands out for you?
A sort of sea change effect at this point. In the last year, our audiences have grown significantly in numbers. So, for example, in December, we had an event called Surviving Heronia, which was showcasing artwork made by folks who had survived Heronia, which is an institution that closed in 2009. And in that, for that show, our audiences were well above 100 people, which for us is a significant increase. So that was a nice moment. And correspondingly, I guess, the Arts Council, particularly the Ontario Arts Council, has been really supportive of disability arts and really engaged Tangled in conversation around how grants should be developed and administered to support disabled artists and their specific needs. So it's been very nice to have that recognition from the Arts Council.
So how do you go about spreading the word about the work of Tangled Arts?
That's a great question. So we've recently hired a media communications person at Tangled, which has been fantastic. So we do have quite a large base of audience members here in Toronto, but our work is really trying to expand our audience to even different parts of the GTA and, of course, beyond. So we do sort of all of the traditional things that you might do in this day and age. Spread our events through Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and send out press releases. But I think it's also more of an infectious thing. People hear about Tangled, they're curious, perhaps. And the neat thing about Tangled is I think that people can get behind the idea of supporting disability art politically, but perhaps they don't know what they're getting in for when they come to a first event. And then when they come, they really do see a high caliber of art, and that's what Tangled really specializes in, showing professional, well-developed art by established artists, sort of breaking the stereotype that art by disabled people is always going to be mediocre. So I think once our audience members come to our shows and see the high caliber of art and the interesting art that we program, they will tell their friends and come back to the next event.
So if you could send any one message about the work of Tangled Arts and why it's important to the community, what would you say?
I would say that it's important to the community because disabled people can produce significant artworks, but we often face systemic barriers to accessing, even physically accessing gallery spaces and theaters, for example. So I think Tangled has done an amazing job of programming a multidisciplinary professional arts program which debunks stereotypes about what disabled people can do. And I think the end result is an amazing contribution to the Ontario and Canadian arts and culture scene in general.
So, what are the next steps for Tangled Arts?
Like I said, we're really trying to branch out provincially and visit different cities in Ontario, like I said, including Windsor, not necessarily to bring our programming to those cities, but to first get a sense of what kind of work is being produced in those cities and who the artists are and what they're already doing. And then at that point, trying to collaborate with what's already been going on and seeing if there's some benefit to bring some of our programming or if our time and resources would be better spent putting those artists in different cities in touch with our other artists we've met around the province. So it really is to expand our network and our programming provincially.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Thanks.
It's quite a gift to the community that these disabled artists are not only sharing their work, but reaching out to others, wanting the community as a whole to embrace the idea that individuals with disabilities can create. The fact is, art is the perfect medium. It speaks from the soul. And I have yet to see a disability that could taint a person's soul. Fact is, regardless of the condition, person with a disability has the same hopes, the same dreams, the same potentials as anyone else in society. And if they express themselves through a medium that matters to them, that they're passionate about, that's reflective of who they are inside, it will be a beautiful thing created. The only question that matters in art is, did it reach us? Did it have some kind of an impact? Regardless of whether it's an able-bodied person or a person with a disability who creates that art, the potential for change, the potential for emotional realization is exactly the same. But for a person with a disability who does create in an artistic sense, they can realize that their reach is so much greater than they might have understood before. They're actually speaking to the community in a way that's accessible to all. No two people are going to look at art exactly the same way, that's true. But the more a person with a disability reaches out with their art, the more emotional and mental awareness that's created. because you're bringing new perspectives to the table. A person with a disability who creates a work of art might have someone in the public ask them about it. They might say, "What inspired you to do this?" Might get a conversation going. And through that conversation, the disability factor appears less and less. And through that, a bridge of communication and ultimately of understanding has been made. That's the wonderful thing in both art and disability life. It's an unknown. You start with a blank canvas. You don't know what potentials will be realized upon it. You don't know what potentials will be achieved, what will be created. I think that's the exciting thing. As we as a society develop new technologies, new advancements in medical science, to make the quality of life for individuals with disabilities that much better, more and more of their creative potential is being unlocked. More opportunities, more contributions to society, if you will. A long time ago, many conditions were deemed as hopeless or incurable. But little by little, we're taking steps to realize it's not so much. Hopelessness is many times just an illusion, and it's one we can choose to live with, or we can choose to say, "I don't think this is the end-all, be-all definition of what life has to be, and I'm going to see what I can do to improve it." And it's not just a matter of medical advancements or technological advancements. In disability life, it's also about cultural advancements. Individuals with disabilities have been contributing to culture in ways we don't tend to think of right off for years. Take music, any genre, anywhere. Individuals with disabilities have been involved, from Beethoven to our good friend Sean Forbes, a deaf rapper who created his music simply to better the face of music, not just to spread awareness. He's not focused 100% on the disability, one part of who he is. But beyond being a person with a hearing impairment, he's also a person with artistic potential, the potential to create, the potential to reach others. And that's what it's all about for a person with a disability, recognizing their own potential and recognizing that finding the right outlet, it can be shared with society. And yes, it may make them stronger as a person when they realize that they do have a gift and something to share with the world. But I maintain it betters us all because we're seeing things with new eyes. And as we do this, we start to grow little by little to recognize that all life is potentialed, all life is a gift. And it's organizations like Tangled that are really doing this. But whether it be a matter of encouragement or outright support and information, the meaning is the same. The meaning is simply to give an opportunity to a person with a disability. The more we do this, the more complete our society becomes. Inclusion should never be an afterthought. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.